On this encore broadcast of Jazz Profiles, we'll hear about the life and music of Anita O'Day. She passed away in 2006 at the age of 87.
I've been in love with you the first time I looked into them eyes. You've got a funny little way of flirting them eyes. They make me feel happy, how they make me feel blue. Falling the great big way, boy, you've got my heart to jump and start at something. You better look out, boy, if you're wise. Sparkle, bubble, they get you in the hole. Lot of trouble them eyes.
She has this whole sense of musical logic that's really unique to her, and it's just brilliant the way she manages to find something fresh, even in the most familiar song, every time out.
I just find what she does just defies description.
She's amazing. She can take a song and she can fly off into the outer reaches, and you never think she's going to come back to home base. But she makes it. It's like a high wire act.
Anita O'Day, like all great artists, is an original. When she started singing in the late 1930s, she didn't sound like the typical female vocalist. She scatted, she swung, she was hip, and she was cool. And the jazz world took her in as one of theirs.
I fell in love with you when I saw those eyes. A funny little way to flirt in them eyes. Make me happy, make me blue.
As one of the most popular big band singers of the 1940s, Anita O'Day never thought of herself as just the girl singer. She considered herself an instrumentalist. Her instrument was her voice, and that's the way she used it.
Those eyes, those eyes.
Anita O'Day became one of the most recorded, most important jazz singers of the 1950s and 60s, and only slowed down, like most jazz people did, when rock and roll took over the popular music scene in the late 1960s. But Anita O'Day survived, and she was back wowing audiences as she became firmly established as an authentic jazz legend. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is a celebration of the life and music of the great jazz singer, Anita O'Day.
High old traders, boot whip, boot whip traders, boss born. High old traders, boot whip traders, boss born. Here, but I'm happy, here, but I'm happy. And what you gonna say? What you gonna do? I guess I'll go out and get fly.
Singer Jackie Kane.
She was probably the first woman that I heard do any kind of scatting and improvisation. And she was the first one that sang in that real rhythmic style.
Will Friedwald, author of Jazz Singing, A History of American Jazz and Pop Singing.
I think O'Day is certainly one of the key jazz singers of, that has ever existed in the medium. I mean, not just in terms of what she's done, but as an influence because of all the people that have, come out of her and have listened to her. And certainly for this, amazingly wonderful body of work she's created.
Jazz pianist Marion McPartland.
When you think of people like Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan, I would think she would be certainly in the top group of jazz singers. And of course, I guess one must say that it was a little unusual for somebody singing that way and being white.
Singer Chris Connor.
She was one of the pioneers of jazz, and she's still swinging.
Anita O'Day was born Anita Bell Colton in Chicago on October 18, 1919, 6 months after her parents' wedding. The marriage was stormy, and when Anita was a little over a year old, her father left. Although her parents were reunited for a short time when she was 7, Anita was actually raised by her mother, who was too unhappy to be the caring mother her daughter needed. Anita, who had already demonstrated her singing and dancing talents as a child, took the first opportunity she had to leave home. At age 14, she became a contestant in the popular walkathons, in which people forgot their depression woes by cheering on the couple struggling to win the grueling dance endurance contest. The walkathons were basically a training ground for show business, and Anita O'Day demonstrated right from the start that she was a trooper. She stayed in the walkathon circuit for 2 years, often being one of the surviving contestants and occasionally being called upon to sing. As a dancer, she had spunk, but as a singer, she stood out.
I had 18 partners in 6 contests.
Anita O'Day.
So this one would say, can you sing or dance? I'm only 14. I says, I know a song, you know. So that night the band is playing and somebody stands up and says, can the girl singer number 18 sing or something? You know, they probably set it up. And I got up and I sang a song. They throw money on the floor. I says, uh-huh, that's what I'm going to do.
I told you I love you, now get out. I told you I love you, now get out. Everything's rosy and everything's jig, but just how much can a good gal take? I told you I loved you, now get out.
Anita returned home and soon afterward got her first real singing job at the Planet Mars in Chicago. The year was 1936, and Anita O'Day was 17 years old. She looked like she should be twirling a baton in front of the high school band, not performing in a swinging Chicago nightclub.
Hey, there's Anita! Yeah, how about a modern song, Anita?
Hey, Joe! Ace in the Hole! Con men, boosters, card sharks, crap shooters. They congregate around the metropole. They wear fancy ties and collars, but where they get their dollars, that's their old ace in the hole.
But her talent was evident, and musicians adopted her, helping her to develop her singing style. One night, Carl Kahns, the editor of Downbeat magazine, came in and heard this exuberant young singer. He asked her to open his new jazz club, The Offbeat, where he planned to showcase promising new talent. In January of 1938, when Anita O'Day started at The Offbeat, she became a permanent part of the jazz world.
There's not one boy for me. I must have 2 or 3. I need 4. First a man who's the type to light slippers and pipe at the door. Then, if at all possible, I'd like the kind who's not very bossable, but knows his mind. If you answer these few, one that knows how to woo, dog, patch, style, then this man of my world will be spangled and pearled with his smile. And though it's incredible, I've found it true that my foggin' woggin' borg is nobody else but you.
The Offbeat became a hangout for musicians, such as popular band leader and drummer Gene Krupa. Krupa liked the swinging style of the club's hip young singer and promised that if his band singer ever left, he would offer Anita the job. 2 years later, in 1941, Anita O'Day sang her first gig with the Gene Krupa band.
I didn't play girl. I'm in a bus with 27 men. I don't want to be the den mother. I don't play that game. I was just one of the guys. I drank with them. We played poker together. When we came to work, it was hi, Anita, and hi, George, and hi, Gene, and, you know, just a swing group of people. Yeah. And they played that way because it was from the heart.
Yeah. Gene Krupa hired trumpeter Roy Eldridge, which at the time was a fairly radical move. Music, like the South, was segregated. There were black bands and white bands, black clubs and white clubs, and they weren't supposed to mix. But Anita and Roy did mix. Their duet, Let Me Off Uptown, became a million seller, and the popularity of the Krupa band skyrocketed.
Hey, Joe.
What do you mean, Joe? My name's Roy.
Well, come here, Roy, and get groovy. You been uptown?
No, I ain't been uptown, but I've been around.
You mean to say you ain't been uptown?
No, I ain't been uptown. What's uptown?
If it's pleasure you're about, and you feel like stepping out, all you've got to shout is, let me off uptown.
Anita, oh Anita, say I feel something.
What you feel, Roy? The heat?
No, it must be that uptown rhythm. I feel like blowing.
Well, blow, Roy, blow.
Anita was named New Star of the Year by Downbeat magazine. And by the next year, 1942, she was selected as one of the top five big band singers. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is Jazz Profiles, a celebration of the life and music of Anita O'Day. Anita left the Krupa Band in 1943 to marry golf pro Carl Hoff. Soon afterward, Gene Krupa was arrested for possession of marijuana, and the band broke up. One night, Anita was hanging out at the Palladium when Woody Herman approached her and asked her to join his band when he opened the club a few weeks later.
So I joined the band. We did the 4 weeks. He says, we got 2 weeks at the Orpheum Theater. Let's go. And then from there, they're all going on the road. I said, well, it's been real nice, and bye. And he got mad at me because he thought I was going to go back on the road. I says, man, I've been on the road all my life. I'm not going back.
Singing with the Herman Band, Anita was as popular as she had been with Krupa. That year, both Metronome and Downbeat included Anita O'Day as one of the top five female singers. Anita's manager, who also managed Stan Kenton, thought that joining the Kenton Band would be good for her career. Despite her belief that they were musically incompatible, Anita agreed to give it a try. A few weeks after she joined the band, Anita cut a record, bringing in her own swing drummer. One of the songs was an instant hit and became a million seller.
And all the tunes were novelty tunes. Hickory Chick, Chala Chala, Becca Laroni, and a banana can. Oh gosh, and what was the big one? And her, well, I didn't do this part. Let's see. She would spend it on the ponies, spend it on the girls, etc. And then the band would come in and sing, and her tears flowed like wine. You know, it was a piece of material. Corny, novelty, but that's what I did with that band.
He would spend it on the ponies. He would spend it on the girls. Buy his mother gin and roses. But when his wife said, hey now, what did you get for me? He socked her in the chopper. Such a sweet, sweet guy was he.
And her tears flowed like wine. Yes, her tears flowed like wine. She's a real sad tomato. She's a busted valentine.
He went on the road for 1 year. After 1 year, I says, I got to get out of here. It don't swing. He's got the upbeats going, you know. He didn't even know where to stop the beat at the end of the song. He wrote the arrangements and everything, but he'd look over at me and I'd go something like this, and then he'd go, pop, and the band would be stopped. That was my job. I said, I'm going to get you a girl singer. We'll play in the Chicago Theater. I go out around town. I hear this band. I hear this girl singer. La, da, 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 da. The light bulb went on. I'm backstage. I said, how would you like to be rich and famous? Well, what do you mean? What's your name? Shirley Lester. I said, I'm across the street with Stan Kenton. He's looking for a girl singer. Be there tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Boom, boom. Next thing I know, I'm on a train back here. She changed her name to June Christie.
And Kenton, to his credit, replaced Anita with singers that were sort of following in her footsteps.
Jazz writer Will Friedwald.
Among them, most importantly, were June Christie and Chris Connor. They just happened to have a similar sound, and they all did kind of different things with that sound eventually, but they pretty much started out as O'Day followers.
Singer Chris Connor.
It was mostly that Kenton wanted that low sound with his, all the high brass and everything. He preferred the singers with lower voices, and the three of us filled the bill. But yes, I was influenced by her. I would study her timing and everything, but of course no one can can ever duplicate anything Anita does. She's completely original.
Gene Krupa had put together another swing band and pleaded with Anita to come back. He promised her a salary raise and a management job for her husband, Carl. Anita agreed. She recorded Boogie Blues with Krupa and had another smash hit.
Though the moon looked lonesome shining through the trees. Don't the moon look lonesome shining through the trees. Don't your arms look lonesome when your baby bags up to leave. Said I'm going up on the mountain to call that baby of mine. Said I'm going up on the mountain to call that baby of mine. But something tells me he's not coming back this time.
Singer Jackie Kane.
When I was a kid in high school, I would go to clubs where she was working. She worked in Milwaukee one time at a club, and I went in to hear her, and she was very nice to me. I told her I was a singer, and I liked her style, and so she kind of let me hang around with her, you know, like come to her dressing room and talk to her and everything. And I found her to be very sweet and very friendly. And then as the years went on, I did start to sing and sound more like her than I had in the beginning. But I even remember the way Anita dressed. She wore interesting clothes. She didn't wear the long gowns that most singers of that day wore. You know, she kind of wore different looking clothing.
Would like to go to the country, can't take you. We're going out to the country, can't take you. Nothing up there a man like you could do. He's got a face like a fish, shaped like a frog. When he loves me, I holler, ooh, a hot dog. Love that man better than I do myself. But I'm all alone, all alone on the shelf, on the shelf.
In 1944 and 45, Anita O'Day was named top girl band vocalist by Downbeat magazine. Even though Krupa had kept his promises and Carl Hoff was working for the band, Anita felt restricted by the band format and wanted to go out on her own.
I had the swing sextet, you know, it was really fun. I'm singing with the four horns, five-part harmony, or whatever we're doing, and the people are there and we're having a ball. Well, that fell out. We went to New York. I said to my husband, I want to get a bebop sextet. So he went out and got Tiny Con on drums. That was the lad. And on down the line, I can't remember them right now. That's when I got into the bebop. I learned to read the notes. I learned to hear the phrasing. And it was fun, but it didn't sell.
Writer Will Friedwald.
But basically, you know, just when she starts singing in these clips, staccato phrases, and in a sense, you can make a connection between her and Parker and Gillespie in the sense that she seems to be leaning towards a bop sensibility very, very early.
Somewhere there's music, it's where you are. Somewhere there's heaven, how near, how far. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. I'd tell you we'll hop through my heart, I'll hop through.
I'm not a singer, I'm a song stylist, because I don't have a uvula. When I was seven, my mother told me to take in the tonsils out, slip of the knife, and it was an accident. Thank you. Didn't work badly for me, because I can't do this, I can't do that, so I made my own style. And that's even better. That's where I got into, like, rephrasing and songs with a lot of words. Like, Blue Moon, I never did that song until one later went into like, Blue Moon, I saw you standing all alone. It's the chord, it's in the chord, but it's not the song. I just got better and better, and I was just a one track, and I was just one big phrase, you know?
Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see you out with me.
I don't blame them, goodness knows, 'cause you're my honey, honey. Flowers droop and sigh when you're passing by, and I know the reason why. Your perfection, goodness knows, and you're my honey, honey, honey. Don't buy sugar, you just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar, so sweet when you stir it up. On the avenue, people look at you, and I know just why they do. Your perfection, goodness knows, and you're my honey.
In 1951, Anita asked Roy Kral to join her group after she learned that his wife and musical partner Jackie Kane was pregnant.
And Anita said, well, listen, if you're not going to be working, why don't you join me and until you want to leave. So that sounded like a good thing, and indeed that's exactly what we did. Rehearsed and joined her. I can't remember where we started, but we traveled all over the United States and Canada. And I was with Anita about 9 or 10 months. And I was the accompanist, the arranger, conductor, and I guess traveling companion.
I got a soap dish, but I ain't got no soap. Pidimpliada, I got a whole chest, but I ain't got no hope. Pidimpliada, I got a mouse trap, no mouse. I've got a household and no house. I've got the no soap, no hope, no mouse, no house blues.
It was wonderful because everything was musical and everything was swinging. And wherever we went, we had good rhythm sections who had respect for Anita. And I would rehearse the group and we'd do the thing. And it was pleasant for me because I felt proud of what I was doing and I got to be pretty good at it.
Got the no floor, no door, no tea, no key blues.
She would direct things. In the middle of things, she would say, well, do this. Now you take that solo. Now it's going to be bass. Now it's going to be drums. And then back to the piano. And then she would come in unexpectedly somewhere in the song. And you'd have to follow and be ready for almost anything.
I've got a hope chest. No mouse. I've got a household, no house. I got the no soap, no home, no mouse, no house blues. Got the blues.
In 1954, Anita met drummer John Poole at a gig at the Club Starlight in Los Angeles. To Anita, the drummer is the most important element of a band, and she dug Poole's playing.
Without the beat, I've lost. If there's a bad drummer, I can't sing because it just don't make it, you know? Really. I can have a bad piano player, but if the drummer don't make it, that's why I stayed with John Poole for so long. He was my favorite drummer.
Drummer John Poole.
We're going 6 nights a week for 6, maybe 8 weeks. I can't remember. It was quite a long time. She never said a word to anybody about anything. You know, she never talked to musicians, she hung out at the bar. Never said a word to nobody. And one night she walked over to me and put her hand on my hand and said, would you like to go on the road? I need a drummer. I got in my old car and headed for our first job in Chicago, and then Detroit, and then Boston, and then New York City. But we were together 32 years.
You turned the tables on me. And now I'm falling for you. You turn the tables on me. I can't believe that it's true. I always thought when you brought the lovely present you brought, why hadn't you brought me more? But now if you'd come, I'd welcome anything from the 5 and 10 cent store. You used to call me the top. You put me up on a throne. You let me fall with a drop. Now I'm out of my eyes. But after thinking it over and over, I got what was coming to me. Just like the sting of a bee, you turned the tables on me.
And so I used a lot of light brushes, brushwork behind her. And it developed. My brushes with her timing and phrasing just kind of developed into another dimension. It's hard to describe, but the brushes just lent themselves to her sound. And then when I used sticks behind her, it was very, very light on the cymbals.
I always thought, when you brought the presents you brought, why hadn't you brought me more? But now if you'd come, I'd welcome anything from the 5 and 10 cent store. You used to call me the top. You put me up on a throne. You let me fall with a drop. And now I'm out on my own. But after thinking it over.
Just ahead, Anita O'Day makes an impact in the film version of the Newport Jazz Festival. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is Jazz Profiles, a tribute to singer Anita O'Day from NPR, National Public Radio. They left Vito Musso's group, Anita O'Day and her musical partner John Poole traveled from coast to coast, taking whatever gigs they could. Anita's career was in a slump. She and Carl had separated. Then Norman Granz proposed she do an album for his new label. The Anita album was the very first LP for Verve Records.
I never could sing a ballad. I had it in my mind, I can't sing a ballad, I can't sing a ballad. And then one day, John Poole gave me Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. I said, okay, I can't do it in time, but I'll do it ad lib. I still do ballads ad lib. But the right chords behind it's kind of pretty, you know. Let's see, how does Berkeley Square go? How strange it was. The piano player, pretty. How sweet and strange. And this is at 3. There was never a dream to compare. He plays a with that hazy, crazy night we met. And a nightingale sang, and my horn man plays flute. In Berkeley Square, the house goes, amazing, it amazes me. To this day, it amazes me.
With that hazy, crazy night we met, when a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. Heart of mine beat loud and fast like a merry-go-round in a fair. For we were dancing cheek to cheek, and the nightingale sang in Berkeley.
She worked on that thing for probably a year off and on at the piano, learning every way to do it.
John Poole.
Every word she sings or enunciates or whatever it is, every word is a hand motion or a facial expression. I would say she's got 30 different facial expressions just for the word love and body movements. Nobody does that. She's teaching the audience. That's part of her genius, to my way of thinking, a great part of it. She teaches the audience. We open a place, a jazz club, and there's a few people there. The owner says, oh, there's not going to be anybody here. And Anita says, wait till the end of the week. The end of the week, the place standing room only.
Will Friedwald.
With Anita, a ballad, she goes right for the gut feeling behind it. You know, it's not necessarily about the words, but it's about the feeling that's in there. And when she does a sad song, you feel the sadness even if you're not paying attention to every little word as it goes by, because you get the overall intention.
when a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
The Anita album was a critical and popular success and put Anita O'Day's career into high gear. By 1958, Anita O'Day had gone from popular band singer to one of the country's top jazz performers, singing at New York's Village Vanguard, playing jazz festivals, and touring Europe. She was asked to perform at the Newport Jazz Festival, along with some of the country's most illustrious jazz artists, Louis Armstrong, Dinah Washington, George Shearing, Sonny Stitt, Thelonious Monk, and Jerry Mulligan.
Everybody's on Saturday night, you know, and George says, oh, you're on Sunday afternoon. I said, oh, swell, thanks a lot. There'll be 50 people there sitting in the sun, and I can't wear a gown. I mean, I don't like gowns in the first place. I put on some walking clothes and I walked out around the village there, and there's a little shop, a dress shop. The door is open and the lady's inside. Can I help you? I said, well, I need a frock for an afternoon show. And what have you got going? She says, I got it. It's a black linen with a white peplum, you know? And I said, okay, and I put it on. And I said, yeah, that's gonna do it for the afternoon. I'm walking out of the shop and up on the shelf there, I says, hey, let me see that hat. She puts the hat on me. Now, it's a straw hat with real ostrich feathers. I says, that makes it. So I put on green eyes and red lips and those shoes that I stepped in the puddle with. And the little white gloves, yeah. So that's how that got in there. Oh, I prayed a lot for that one. I do Tea for Two this tempo. My drummer plays on top of the beat, and I gotta beat him. So you really gotta think. And it's fun, because I'm in a challenge.
Picture me a bunt, you need cheeky for two and two, but you can't you see how happy we could be. Nobody near us, see us, here it's friends, relations, we have vacation, won't have it now. We own a telephone there. Song breaking, you wake me to bake a sugar cake. You to take for all the boys to see. We were dressed fancy, boy, for you get, for me get. You think I'm happy, we get big, we three. Picture me up on your knees, tea for two and tea for two. Now can't you see how happy we're gonna be? Nobody near us, see us, serious friends, we lazy, we get vacation, won't have it, no, we own a telephone, dear. Song breaking, you wake me to bake a sugar cake. You to take for all the boys to see. We raise a family, boy, for you, girl, for me. Can't you see how happy we could be, we three? Make your make up on your knee with two for two and two for two. Now can't you see how happy we could be? Nobody never see us through his face. We let you get the case, what happens? No, we own a telephone, dear. Time to wreck you, wake me to make sugar cake you to take. All the voices to see, raise a family, boy, for you, girl, for me. Can't you see how happy we could be, we three? It's a joke.
Anita didn't realize she was being filmed as part of a documentary. When the film, which was entitled Jazz on a Summer's Day, was released a year later, Anita O'Day was seen for the first time by many people who had only known her through her records. Whether it was the way she looked or the way she sang, Anita O'Day made more of an impression than any of the jazz giants on the bill. The film gave her an international audience and made her a star in Japan.
Oh, she was just terrific with a white hat and the white gloves, and she sounded great. Oh, the audience was marvelous. She really broke the show up.
Jazz writer Will Friedwald.
She's really immersed in the beat. she's got, like I say, she's got the drummer in her head, and she can do all kinds of interesting things with the beat just because she's so secure of where the time is and how not to let it get away from her.
Pianist Marian McPartland.
She had just a perfect sense of rhythm. I mean, somebody around her playing with her might lose it, but she never did.
John Poole.
She rehearsed these songs in the afternoon with the band, and then in that night she'd sing them, you know, perform them. And the next night I'd say, well, I know all this, you know, and all of a sudden I'm out in left field because she would do a different breathing space on the same song. It wasn't at all the way it was the night before. And here I am looking for a spot and it's not there, you know. And the next night, another spot in another place, the same song. You know, just astonishing, the rhythm and the phrasing, never the same. She wanted to learn a song. So she'd go to some club where Art Tatum was playing and sit there and ask him to play that song for her and listen to it, night after night after night, just one song, so she could learn his phrasing and get ideas.
Most girl singers learn the melody. Have you met Miss Jones? She's the one, you know it's true. You know, and I would go into something like, have you met Miss Jones? She's the one, made my dreams come true. Dig, that's called phrasing. That's what I tried to do.
You met Sir Jones. Someone said as we should guarantee you just Sir Jones to me. Then I said, hey, Jones, you're the guy who understands all the gal who must be free. All at once I lost my breath. All at once was scared to death. All at once I felt the earth and sky. Now I'm at Sir Jones, and we'll keep on meeting till we die, Mr. Jones. And I shove it up and up, up and up, up and up, up and up, and up and up. Do it, and 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 do it.
One of the impressions you can get from O'Day is that this musical style of hers is very closely rooted in her personality.
Will Friedwald.
You know, she just is so willing to go with whatever comes into her head and so unafraid of anything. She just, you know, goes out there and whatever the circumstances and does her best and just comes up with whatever she can come up with, and it's generally brilliant.
Singer Chris Connor.
She's very spontaneous. And, well, that's what makes her wonderful. She's very, you know, when she speaks to you, you know exactly where you stand with Anita. Very honest. And I like that very much.
John Poole.
She wants the freedom to do what she wants to do, when she wants to do it. She had the gowns and long gloves, and we had a sextet, and we were going for the big money, right? After about 9 nights of that, people standing in line, you know, design set to give her a couple tunes in the show where she could have freedom and stuff. The rest of stuff was all contrived. A lot of money and big time on the horizon. She said, I can't do this. There's already a Peggy Lee. You know, she tore the gloves off and threw the gown down. And then the guy at the hotel says, you'll never work in this town again. You're blacklisted. And she could care less. She's not a commercial property.
Love to rock and roll this time of day.
In 1947, she wrote a tune called Rock and Roll Blues. It's a big hit by Anita O'Day. Words and music by Anita O'Day. Rock and Roll Blues. That's 47 I'm talking.
Well, I found that swing's a thing. You've got to rock and roll and swing. You've got to gig the bombs to test. And then you find that it's the best day. Hey, bass. Love,
between 1957 and 1963, Anita made 16 albums, recording with various big bands and small groups, singing a varied repertoire. Creed Taylor, who became A&R director after MGM bought Verve from Norman Granz, liked to put Anita with promising young groups. Here's Just in Time, recorded with the Cal Jader Group in February 1962.
Just in time I found you, just in time before you came. My time was running low. I was lost, the losing dice were tossed. My bridges all were crossed. Nowhere to go. Now you're here. And now I know just where I'm going. No more doubt or fear. I found my way. For love came just in time. You found me just in time. And changed my lonely life. That lovely day. In time, I found you just in time before you came. My time was running low. Oh, I was lost, the losing dice were tossed. My bridges all were crossed. Nowhere to go.
Free Taylor arranged for Anita to make a record with another promising young jazz group on the Verve label, The Three Sounds, led by pianist Gene Harris.
Well, I had accompanied other singers before Anita O'Day, but this was an unbelievable challenge because her time and her ability to sing in such unbelievably timed signatures, you know, she could do everything with her voice, you know, that a lot of singers don't even attempt to try to do, you know. I was amazed. In fact, sometimes when we were rehearsing, I would stop the band because I would think, there's no way she's going to make it. Oh, hold it. She says, no, Gene, don't do that. Just keep on, you know, keep on playing. She says, when you get to the end, I will be there. It was a great lesson for me.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me know what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore.
She had a very pretty lyrical quality to her voice, and which she didn't show to many people, that she could sing beautiful, wonderful ballads. But more than that, it's like she was floating. It's like a bird flying, you know, and how the wind takes them around, and they always are in total control, though, the bird is. And that's what Anita O'Day was.
In other words,
although Anita led a nomadic and troubling life, she had been for several years addicted to heroin, she continued to perform and record. In 1964, she did her first tour of Japan. But in the late 60s, with the increasing popularity of rock and roll, times got tough for jazz performers. Just surviving in the music business became a struggle. In 1967, Anita O'Day overdosed on heroin and nearly died. John Poole, who was living in Hawaii, had gotten off drugs there the year before, and he urged Anita to do the same. She sold her things and bought a ticket to Honolulu.
And she recovered pretty much cold turkey. I mean, what guts, you know? I don't know. She could have died, you know. She'd bury herself in the hot sand, then she'd jump in the water, you know. She did it. But she's got strength and guts and courage that I don't know where it comes from, you know. It's unbelievable.
It started raining, baby.
I can be. It started raining, and then I'm blue, blue as I can be. 'Cause every time it rains, I know what you mean to me, baby. I cried last night, I cried the night before.
5 months after her overdose, Anita was recovered, free of her addiction, and ready to go back to work. She did a tour of the Far East and then returned to the United States for an engagement at the Half Note in New York. She stayed at the club for over a year. There were more tours of Japan and Europe, and she started her own record label, Emily Records. In 1981, Anita O'Day published her autobiography, High Times, Hard Times, in which she gave the gritty details about her drug addiction. The gossip-hungry public was fascinated by the turbulent life of the jazz singer who'd been dubbed the Jezebel of Jazz. And Anita was interviewed by the major gossip columnists and talk show host. What the interviewers and audiences discovered was that what matters most to Anita O'Day is her music.
Well, first of all, I don't know how jazz got in there. I was the personality singer for years around Chicago in the taverns. And I get into this other scene and somebody, Leonard Feather, I think, says, "Well, we got a new jazz person on the scene. It's a girl singer. Her name is Anita O'Day." And then everybody would start picking up on it. I said, "No, I'm a jazz singer." I thought, well, that's what they're billing me as, and it makes money. It moves, you know. So I just let it ride. A lot of them come in and say, "My dad sends his best." But it's all like one word, one thought, you know, just my work. That's all I got.
Her voice has changed a lot over the years. She had great sound in the 50s and 60s, just dynamite sound, vibration and strength. And it changed a little bit. And now at her older age, you know, it's changed again, you know. But nobody can touch her for what she does. No way. The history books will attest to that.
Of the apple trees, blossoms in the breeze that we walked among, lying in the hay, games we used to play while the rounds were sung only yesterday when the world was young.
With Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, Carmen McRae, and Ella Fitzgerald gone, Anita O'Day is the last of a generation of great jazz singers, and she makes good her claim that she never sings a song the same way twice.
Of course she doesn't have the same kind of voice that she did, you know, even 10 or 20 years ago, especially not what she had 40 years ago. But, you know, you don't go to see her for the voice, you go to see what she does with the song. And she has this excitement to her and this spontaneity that's much more important than vocal quality.
But behind all the other singers, compared to Anita, it's boring. Not because of my personal relationship with her, just because of the music and the phrasing and the timing. There's so much going on. Any girl singer on the planet Earth, it's predictable. It's like vanilla. It's the same thing every night, every song. It's the same. Not with Anita. The emotion, the despair, the unhappiness, the bitterness, the disappointment, and sometimes the love, and sometimes the elation. It's all there.
No gal made has got the shade on sweet Georgia Brown. Two left feet, but oh, so neat has sweet Georgia Brown. They all sigh and won't die for sweet Georgia Brown. I'll tell you just why.
Our celebration of the life and music of Anita O'Day was written, produced, and mixed by Joan Merrill. Our thanks to John McNally, Alan Eichler, and to Kareel Wheeler and Manoli Wetherill at NPR's New York Bureau. Jazz Profiles is produced by Tim Owens. Executive producers Mary Beth Kirshner and Murray Horwitz. For more information about Jazz Profiles, this program, and a listing of future programs in the series, look for NPR's homepage on the World Wide Web, npr.org. That's npr.org. Support for this program comes from a major grant from the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, helping people to make the arts part of their everyday lives. Additional support comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting's Radio Program Fund, National Public Radio member stations, NPR, and the National Endowment for the Arts.
No gal made us got a shade on sweet Georgia Brown. Tootin' her feet with ever so neat as sweet Georgia Brown. They all sign one dime for sweet Georgia Brown. I'll tell you just why. You know I don't lie much. It's been said she knocks them dead when she lands in town. Since she came, why it's a shame how she coos them down. Fellas, she can't get a fellas that she ain't met. Georgia named her, Georgia claimed her, sweet Georgia Brown.
I'm Nancy Wilson saying jazz is as pure as the life we live. So live it. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
You've been listening to an encore broadcast of Jazz Profiles. Singer Anita O'Day passed away in 2006 at the age of 87. Discover more great jazz at NPR Music, including our new series, Live at the Village Vanguard, live webcasts and archives from America's premier jazz club. Check it out at nprmusic.org.